Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, welcome back to the Gear Garage Live Show. My name is Zach, and as the intro said, I'm just going to ramble on about what I like to talk about. I got a bunch of questions today, some videos to review, so we're just going to jump into it. And I want to start with where you're going to hear from me a lot the next 6 months, or maybe 6 years, is that we're starting to dive pretty hard into rescue courses. We've been offering courses for a couple of years now, but have been kind of quiet about it. We're just like really fine-tuning our curriculum, making sure that like the feedback we get is what we want, and doing a lot of training. And we're now, and we're about to start a 9-day rescue instructor course with a bunch of our guides starting Sunday. And so we're going to roll out a lot of rescue stuff. And the reason I bring this up, I have a general frustration with rescue, like whitewater rescue training right now, because I feel like the courses are geared towards what's traditionally known as swift water rescue. And to me, that denotes first responder, like firefighters, search and rescue, people who approach the rescue from the ground to the river to victims they don't know. Where whitewater rescue is what we do as boaters. We're on the river already. We're dressed in proper PPE. Our victims are dressed correctly. And we have boats and access to like river vehicles, like boats, kayaks, rafts, inner tubes, whatever, to help perform rescues. And the rescues that we see as whitewater paddlers are different than somebody just falling in a river that's flooding, or somebody who gets stuck on a rock and is there for a few hours. It's just a different thing. And what's happening in a lot of rescue courses is they're mixing the first responders with rafters, with kayakers, with guides, and then agency personnel. A lot of people who work for the BLM or Department of Water Resources or Fishing Game also need to get rescue training, but have different needs. And so there really should be 5 different courses, and all of these groups are being lumped into one course in one curriculum. And the outcomes for guides and professional rafters are not correct. That's what I'm finding. When I talk to people who've taken these courses, whether they're guides I'm hiring or private boarders I'm training, I feel like their outcomes are not the outcomes you would want them to have. And so we're really 100% focused on rescue for rafting. And we have a different course for private boaters than we do for professional guides. Again, the needs are different and the expectations should be different. So we're going to niche into private boater rafting rescue courses, which we call our Class 3 Safety and Rescue. And we're going to be offering Rescue 3 Whitewater Rescue Technician courses specifically for guides. If you're a private boater and want to be in the guide course, you can't come. If you're a guide that wants to be in the private boater course, you can't come. Like, we want like-minded people there for the same reasons, getting that specific education. So anyway, you hear me talk about it a lot because I'm really into it right now and putting a lot of time into it. So let's get started with the questions. The first one is, somebody who had the chance to row Cherry Creek in a capo and did it based on video beta and scouting and wants me to review some video. So I got a comment here. Cool. Good to hear this. Way West Outdoors says, love your passion for river safety, being proactive to provide resources for each niche. Yeah, niche. I care about it. I care about it because, again, I'm seeing people when they take, like, the people ask, how do I become safer? And somebody says, take a swiftwater class. Well, that's not always the answer. I'd be safer. Like, you might leave a swiftwater class with a bunch of knots and weird ideas about ropes in the river. And they might make you swim over a pipe and pretend like it's a strainer. When what you really need are like a lot of prevention. How do you become safer? You have proper boat spacing. You set safety. You wear proper PFD. You wear the proper gear for the environment. You learn how to walk in shallow water responsibly. You learn how to use ropes responsibly. If there's a pin, you set upstream spotters, downstream safety. So like, there's different needs for different groups. And I care about this a lot. So anyway, thanks for the comment, Way West Outdoors. Okay, here we go. We're going to watch this video, this Cherry Creek video, and do some video review. Let me see if I can do this. And for those of you listening, this is a podcast. I'm sorry. This is really a YouTube video show. All right, so here we are. We're at Cherry Creek. This is the put-in for Cherry Creek. For those of you that don't know, it's the Upper Tuolumne. It's class. This is legit class 5. And I haven't been here in a long time, so I'm not even sure what rapid this is. This doesn't even look familiar. Oh, it's been a long time since I've been here. Anyway, we're on. You do the creek itself for like a mile, and then it confluences with the Tuolumne, and you do the Tuolumne. I think we're still on the creek. You can also put in on the Tuolumne with right flows. Yeah, why do I not recognize this? Oh, I think we're at. I think we're on the Tuolumne now. This is, I forget what this is called. Something slaughters something. Something like, I think we normally go left there actually, but that works. That's a good line. Yeah, it's a sweet line. I've never catboated the Tuolumne, the Cherry Creek myself. I've only kayaked it and rafted it. It's an interesting catboat run. It would be super fun. Yeah, what's this rapid called again? Slaughters something. Something about getting your head cut off, I think. Yeah, that's what this rapid is, though. It's a tricky early rapid, for sure. But good line. Good oarship on the left there. The key to the Cherry Creek is going to be oarshipping, for sure. I notice you also have oar rights, which you kind of need on a run like this. Like, you could do it without oar rights, but, like, you're not going to do much feathering. There's a lot of rapids here. You just need to, like, grab an oar and pull on it. I'd of course prefer pins and clips, but that's fine. I'd be fine with all rights too. If anybody knows the name of that rapid, tell me. I'm trying to remember what that rapid name is. It's like killing me. I can't remember it, what it is. Yeah, it looks like just a bunch of catboaters. And of course, the Tuolumne, that clear water is so awesome. It comes out of the bottom of a reservoir, and it's so fun to have like this cool class 5 run with clear water that, you know, it's probably like 80, 90, 100 degrees out right now. Again, more, yeah, it just looks like good catboating. Not seeing anything here that I can really, I'm gonna make this full screen if I can. Yeah, nice, just solid catboating. There's some bigger rapids downstream though. We're really gonna find out. All right, this looks like Lewis's Leap, like the end. I'm sorry, I don't remember this run very well. I don't remember this at all. Unless we're doing one of the last rapids right now. That left oar is a bit, you'd be really careful to not hit that downstream oar. I'd be nervous about that. Nice sort of ship on the right. Yeah, I mean, it looks like you're doing good. And this does not, I guess my memory of this run is going away. This might be Coffin. Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully, maybe it might be Coffin. It's been just a long time. But yeah, that looks solid. I'm going to skip ahead to get to some of the bigger rapids. So if that was Coffin, yeah, this looks like Unknown Soldier. So this is the beginning of the Miracle Mile. So there's no mushroom. You didn't put mushroom video in here. And Toadstool, two of the biggest rapids. This rapid's sweet. You have to ship oars. Good ship. And you have to turn left right now to go over this drop. Yeah, that was sweet. Good ship. Nice turn. Like, you, yeah, that was good. That's a hard run. That, if I was catboating, that's when I would be a little worried about. Let's watch that again. Just because you really can't use your oars. See, that person, if you watch this person, they kind of messed up with their oars. You have to ship to get between those rocks, and you don't want to go over the next drop sideways. You have to turn with almost minimal oar use. So that guy, like, he doesn't ship his right oar, and then he loses his left oar. Yeah. And gets it back, though. So it goes to that channel, and then yeah, he probably did something to turn. And good job seeing the boat. That's a pretty good little drop. So this mile below here drops 200 feet. So it's just rapid after rapid after rapid. Nothing's like super hard in this next mile. it just keeps dropping. I forget the names of all the rapids. I remember Unknown Soldier really well, but I forget the names of all these rapids. This might be Eulogy. Not Evangelist. That's another word to all me. It's good. These are good looking boats. Yeah, more of the boogie water. I mean, the biggest rapids, you know, like Mushroom and Toadstool and Jawbone, was really, you didn't have in there, were some of the biggest. That would have been a cool video to see. This is some of the just fun class four in that Miracle Mile, it looks like. I'm gonna skip ahead because we don't have all day to watch all this whole thing. Hey, they're looking good. Man, it's been so long since I've been here. I don't recognize a lot of this. I'm just gonna keep skimming ahead. Nice job. Like going over there. Ooh, what rapid's that? I forget which rapid this is. So, I mean, on the creek here, it's just to me all about shipping oars, all about keeping oars in your hand. Ship the oar on the left, but got turned and let go of it. I mean, not bad, but it would be nice to not have that boat turn there, of course. I think you're balancing, pushing, and pulling pretty well. This actually looks really fun, that catboat. Yeah, nice job on this one. Yeah, Sean says pretty clean so far. Yeah, I mean, it looks good. Yeah. Wait, was that Jawbone? Oh, this is, oh, things are out of order. That's what's going on. This, I think this is Jawbone. So you just have things out of order in this video. If this is Jawbone, pretty sure that's what that is. This looks like Sky King. The river guides call it Sky Slammer, something Slammer. The line, there's a big hole on the left. The first time I ran this in a kayak, I got beat down in this hole. But yeah, this would be a tough one because you have to get by this rock, and you want to be on the right side of this and ship your oars because that hole will beat you down. And it's a long run out, and there's some like weird sieves on the left over there. But nice job. Yeah. They call it Slammer. The guides call it Slammer Wave. I've always called it Sky King. This. But yeah, it's good line. Oh, Eulogy. That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. God, it's so beautiful in there. Yeah, I sure miss running this. The Tuolumne in general is just so awesome. Yeah, this all looks clean. I'm going to try to go ahead to some of the bigger rapids if there's anything bigger. I think this one's called Eulogy. This one's tricky. Yeah, nice ship. That was really nice. That's sweet. Yeah, where are we at now? Oh, this is the bottom of Eulogy. Yeah, let go of an oar. I mean, your goal should be to not let go of an oar the whole run. Like I feel like when you're capoating, if you let go of an oar, it wasn't a clean run. It's sort of like, to me, it's almost like flipping in a kayak. Like I might flip once. I don't want to. Well, the same thing. I might let go of my oar once, and I'm going to try not to let go of my oar. Yeah, I think this one's called Eulogy. And then this is, oh, here's Mushroom. So we're way out of our, so Mushroom to me is like, the iconic Cherry Creek Rapid. It's like Blossom backwards. This is like the Moving Blossom. We were coming in here one time rafting, and my friend, we were doing a downstream ferry into the eddy on the left. And my friend Dan goes, just like the Move of Blossom. And it really is just like the Move of Blossom. It's like a really tricky entrance here, and then just a kind of a long run out. It's like a very much harder Blossom. So this is sort of like making the Move of Blossom, right? To get through here. And then this is called the Cattle Chute, that capo is going through right now. It's sort of like the Beaver Slide on Blossom, but on steroids. Coming through here is tough. And then this is getting through here is a little tricky. I was caught in that pocket eddy on the right once, the raft. And then this bottom is, I call this rock on the left. I think it's a cigar rock. And this all this stuff in here is very big. You would not want to swim this, but it all goes. Like there's this big rock in the river here. You see the water fanning up on it. You go left of it and then back right into a big hole. That's a sweet line. That's a really sweet line. Nice. Yeah, that's great. The test will be if you got video of, here we go. This is the one. What's it called again? This is right after mushroom. I think this is the one. Yeah, jawbone. No, not jawbone. Toadstool. Like there is a potential right line in a cat. The left line is tough and it wants to flip you. Oh, please go right. Please go right. Please go right. Oh, the right line is so sweet. Yeah. See, there's a like this drop right here. This is trouble. You got kind of lucky in there. That was kind of a mess. I mean, the capoats, this is testament right here. Like this is a tough rapid and the capoats are very forgiving. Like this is a pretty bad line. Like if you're in a raft, you would have flipped wrapped several times. Like you can't put a raft there or a kayak. You would have flipped a raft there or wrapped it. And then coming down over here, that line's not, I mean, it works in a cap, but it wouldn't in a raft. But good job. I mean, that's a tough rapid. So good job staying in the boat. A lot of people would get thrown around. And then you know, there's all this running. You have that tricky part, all this running. And there's a sieve on the left at the bottom down here. And this is Lewis's leap, I think, towards the end. Trying to go over the leap. It's tough to get that straight. So, like, that's nice job. Nice job going for the drop. Oars were shipped. You're stable in the boat. I think the thing I'm noticing the most about just watching your boat is you're good at shipping your oars and using your oars for stability. And that's that was flat rock. That was sweet. You ran flat rock too? Never run flat rock on the left over there. So this is Lewis's. See how he's like handles around the oars for stability. A lot of people just throw the oars and hold on to the frame. But on a river like Cherry Creek, you need to hold on to your oars so you can make the line and keep using them. The same thing, like he used his oars for stability really well there. And this looks like maybe Glavy Falls. Oh, they ran all the way down to Glavy Falls. Sweet. Yeah, I mean, great. I mean, I think you're looking for feedback. Check it. Let me hide. You did great. I mean, solid. I mean, my comments would be like the capoats are really forgiving, which helped. And you shipped your oars really well, barely let go of them. And again, a lot of people who were capoating Cherry Creek, the trend I'm seeing in my capoaters is just like throwing your oars and holding on to your frame. And the fact that you didn't do that and you're shipping correctly and keeping your handles in your hands, I think is huge. And your lines were all really good. So nice job. All right, let's keep moving. Love the show. Is there a low flow which you stop running the mid shoot? Nope. Like there's a low flow where I stopped running the fish ladder, like in the, like, I don't remember exactly, but somewhere around like 1200-1300, you really can't get an 18-foot boat down the fish ladder. So once it gets lower in like 900, you can maybe get a 14-foot boat down the fish ladder, but in like 1900 range, the mid-chute is the line. So I would say the opposite. There's a low flow where I stopped running the fish ladder because there's just not enough water. And the mid-shoot pretty much always goes. You just got to like hit the line. All right. Keep moving. Love the show and appreciate your candid advice. Thank you. Can you describe your GoPro mounting setup for the video trip reports? Let me grab that right now. All right. So here's my GoPro. It's pretty straightforward. Let me make myself big here. I use a sub paddle. See this big sub paddle? The cool thing about the sub paddle is I have an adjustable one so I can make this longer, right? And so I can change the length really easily for how long it is. The end of the sub paddle, it digs under bags really easy. So it like I shove it into things and this thing holds in. And then this is just a bicycle handlebar mount. This one I use, I forget what it's called, but it's one that I found that I like. I've been through a lot of them because I bend them, I'm hard on them. They cost $15 on Amazon. They're pretty sweet. And I just have it like this. And I keep this GoPro on here all the time. This is like my selfie stick for rafting. And this mount stays on here all the time. I bring the little wrench to adjust these if I need to. But this works great. GoPro also makes a handlebar mount that's really good that I just bought. Well, it's right here. This is the handlebar mount that GoPro makes. It's just a more expensive, better version of this. And I my friend Baker had one of these when it came out to Hood River this spring, and it's awesome. I haven't put on anything, but it's just like it mounts on, and you can turn the way this thing's facing. It's just built for a GoPro. So these like $20-$30. I'm going to probably start using these more, but these bicycle handlebar mounts work really well. And just having it on a raft paddle works too, but a sub paddle is a little bit longer. And if it's adjustable, you can change the length super easy. Oh, let's go. All right. So got to answer that one. Okay. Beaver boards and dance floors. Just got back from the class here in school. Wow. Was it excellent? It's like world class. Bravo. Claire, Austin, Mason, Josh, and Terry were outstanding. And it was one of the best courses I've ever taken. Cool. Thank you. We're really proud of those courses. We put a lot of time into them, into like, yeah. I'm really proud of those classes. So I'm glad you had a good time. Oops. Anyways, one of the takeaways from my raft is the idea of setting up the beaver board and captain dance floor so that all that gear is suspended from the frame, like you all have in your gear boats. I'm in Grants Pass. I'm struggling to find marine grade plywood. Any suggestions on where to get it? Yeah, just go to the hardware store and ask them for it. They won't have it in stock, but they can order it. Like I just go to a store that sells plywood and say, I'd like some marine grade plywood. So I think it's like $200 a sheet. It's expensive. They won't have it in stock. They will order it. And if they don't have it at Home Depot, go to an actual like store they sell wood. They can definitely get it. Like we just got a couple of boards in Salmon, Idaho, and it took them, I think, a week and a half to get them in stock, but they can get them. And in Hood River, I just go to the lumber store and they get them. You don't have to use marine grade plywood. We're very hard on our boards. We use them all week, all summer. And so because we're so hard on them, that's what we get. You can just get regular plywood. If you're using it like even five times a year, for it'll last you for 5 or 10 years without marine grade. Just get regular plywood. It'll be fine. Really don't want to go with the starch floor glues. Yeah. Flour glue. I don't know. I don't know what the starch flour glues mean, but we've used plywood in the past. It works fine. If you want to get just regular plywood, if you want to get marine grade plywood, just go to the store. They sell it. Easy to find. Okay. Wild Dory Rescue. Watch between minute 4 and 8. Okay. Let's pop this video up. Give me a second, everyone. I watched the first 20 seconds of this video earlier just because I was curious. And so it's a dory. This thing, like dories, I'm not sure if I would have. Everybody says they're so fun, they're so maneuverable. This looks terrifying to me. Like how much it moves around. But here's a dory, and I saw a raft flip right in front of me. Yeah, this raft goes in there, gets sucked back in the hole, flips right. That's got to be scary having a raft in front of you, and that raft is surfing upside down. And all the gears coming out. That's great. So I'm guessing this isn't a commercial trip because usually commercial guys don't flip in holes like that and have all their stuff floating out. So I'm guessing this is a private trip, but I'm not exactly sure. Anyway, he wants me to look between minute 4 and 8. Let's go to minute 4. So looks like this group's having problems. Like somebody was just swimming there. Oh, that hole. I don't think you want to go in that hole. Oh, yep, you don't, because the kind of friend still doesn't even know there's nobody back there. Yeah, I don't think guides are generally this bad. I felt my helmet hit the bottom of the boat. Yeah, and this is how it's going to crash against these rocks. Oh. Oh, man. Yeah, there you go. Get rowing those boats. Wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think you want to go in that hole, but these dories are not as forgiving as regular boats. So we're watching this. I don't know what else. Is this the person who had the question said there's a rescue? Oh, that guy's going into that civvy looking thing. What? Oh, how do you do that? Oh, now the boat's going there. Oh, he's so lucky that's not like a death sieve in there. Oh my gosh. 45 minutes to get the dory unpinned. No punctures. He spelled punctures wrong. I guess go back to that swim. I mean, this is the most, I don't really care about the dory that much getting broken. I care about this guy maybe dying. Like, this is where the Swiftwater Rescue stuff is important. Like, I think this is where it matters. Like, getting a dory unpinned or whatever isn't a big deal, but that guy should not. He almost stood up there too. Watch this. He's like kind of standing up. People need to learn to swim better. But like, he's like, he could have been trapped, right? Like, you see how he's on a rock right there for a second. Like, I don't think he knows to keep his feet up. Right. This is right there. He's standing on an underwater rock like that. And his feet are facing downstream. This swim through here, to me, seems really dangerous. You don't know if there's undercut rocks. You don't know if there's a sieve. Like, we need to learn to avoid things like this. Like, that rock looks like it's undercut right there, that he could have gone up against and got pinned. Like, I would rather swim the entire Grand Canyon than swim through something like that. Like, you can swim down the middle of every rapid, but I think learning to take care of people and they just fell on the boat. Like take care of the equipment last. Like, just take care of people's safety first. Like, this guy shouldn't have swam down that chute. Sorry, I keep going over that, but like, he was so focused on being ahead of the dory, he swam that. Yeah, it's flushing that rock strip scary. Yeah, that's where like that guy just fell into, like, really learning to put safety first. Oh, that guy's right up against this civvy rock thing with so many. Again, I do not care. The guy's falling in again. Swimming into the sieve. Oh, it goes under it. I mean, now the guy, like, are you kidding me? And now this guy's got a tangle of rope. So this is where, like, I would say, sorry, my mind is blown by this. I haven't seen this yet. People first, then gear, right? Like, they're putting a lot of people in harm's way. Another guy right there. Holding on to his hand. This is how you dislocate a shoulder. Like, there's got to be better ways to save this than just having people swim in the undercut wall over and over and over. Like, I think they could pull the boat up. Like, go. I mean, in a rescue class, you learn how to tie knots, set up some systems. But, like, you don't learn how to, like, every situation is different. I would think they could just go upstream with some ropes and pull it upstream, like walk up there. Yeah, like that guy's doing right there. Like, I wouldn't tie it to the side of the boat, tie it to an end, but just pull it upstream, which is going to be hard, but it's a dory. Like, they're not that heavy. Yeah. So this is just common sense. Yeah. I see some comments. What thickness? I don't remember, Sean. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, three-quarter inch sounds good. Yeah, they burn up. Yeah. That's a good point. Like, when we teach, this is, whatever they're doing right now is working. Yeah, it's literally just pulling it upstream and getting it off. When I teach how to deal with, like, rescues or pins, I try to remember the five things I teach. I don't have an acronym for them, so it's hard to remember sometimes. But number one is stabilize the situation and find everybody. Like, make sure nobody's missing and make sure everybody's stable. And then two is establish a leader. Three is upstream safety. Upstream spotter. Four is downstream safety. And then five is think about after. Like, after you get the boat off, after you get the person unstuck, is there some unforeseen consequence? And so they probably didn't have a leader. Whoever said that's probably correct. But I can't believe they shared that video on YouTube, to be honest with you, because it's kind of embarrassing. Like, over and over and over, swim that super sketchy thing, that undercut wall thing. Even the first time, like not knowing what's down there. I mean, that's how, I don't know, that's how people die. You know, and then, you know, when another thing in just talking about rescue courses and things to teach, like we talk about four behavioral hazards and four environmental hazards. And, you know, in that conversation, in the environmental hazards, like rock sieves are super dangerous. And so the things we want to avoid. Anyway, thank whoever shared the video. Thanks for sharing it. Let's go back to our questions. See if you have any left. RivTech rafts. What are your thoughts on RivTech rafts? They claim it's less flippy, more roomy, and more durable than standard rafts. I've never heard of a RivTech raft, but let's look it up. I mean, less flippy, more roomy. Sounds like a creature craft to me. Let's Google RivTech rafts. The fact that I never heard about it makes me think that they're not very good. RivTech, here we go. Whoa, that is a trip. That's like a bathtub. What is this? Why RivTech? I don't know what to think. It looks like a canoe-like thing. Catalog. Let's look at the catalog. They have one product. Yeah, I mean, it's always makes me nervous when people only have one product. Like, they just invented this and they haven't fully flushed it out. So it's sort of like a dory. This is a trip. What is going on? This has got to be made of, it's an interesting idea. This has got to be PVC, though. Let's see if it says self-bailing, warts, cups capacity, floor thickness. It doesn't say the 10-year warranty is pretty good. Advanced passenger. I mean, I don't want to hate on it because it's actually kind of interesting. I do like innovation. Man, what a trip. Look at those bent thwarts. That's kind of cool, actually. Huh. I've never seen one featuring a larger bow surface area. Huh. I mean, somebody, I don't know. I'd love to try one. It looks weird. It looks weird. My first impression is it just looks weird. It looks wrong. But man, bomber, it's drop stitch. It's probably PVC. Yep. Here we go. Anthony's saying it's layered drop stitch. Yeah. Huh. It just looks wrong. It doesn't look correct to me. Like if I saw one, I would definitely make fun of it, but I don't know. It's kind of cool. I'd have to try it first to have a real opinion. Small floor holes. Long. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, it's hard to say. Maybe it empties fast because there's so many, I don't know where the location. I don't know. That's cool. Thanks for sharing. Whoever shared that with me. It's really neat. And that's the last question. Sweet. Well, thank you everybody for watching, for supporting the channel. We have a new member today, Steven. Thanks for being a member. If you're a member, you're just helping support the channel. So when I break things like cameras, I just broke a camera, helps me like buy a new camera. And I just bought this new microphone, made myself big to do more. I'm gonna try to do more shorts, but I bought this like cool Bluetooth microphone for my phone so I can do more shorts and just record easier in the field. So it's just like those of you that members help support so I can buy better AV gear or just like equipment you want to see. You're like, hey, I'm not going to buy a RivTech boat, but if you like want me to review something in your member, I might spend the money to buy it just to review it. And I do like reviewing things that I bought. When somebody gives me something to be like, hey, review this, there's usually strings attached. Or at a minimum, I feel, because they gave it to me, I feel the need to do a nice review. Where if I just buy something, I can be as honest as I want. So those of you, the members, help me buy the stuff I review instead of like taking free stuff or asking for free stuff. And then I'm biased, whether unconscious, subconscious, I'm biased. So anyway, thank you all for watching. Thanks for supporting the show. And I'll probably see you maybe next week. Bye.